This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دروس من المسجد النبوي الشريف.
In English.
In English.
In English.
As you remember, the first dua that we covered was Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa al-tuqa wa al-afaf wa al-ghina. The second dua that we covered was Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa al-sadat. The third dua that we covered was Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deen. So those are the three that we've taken so far. And they've already been translated with very brief explanation. The fourth one that we're going to take today is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a great companion, he was the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to the people of Yemen to teach them about the religion of Islam. And he told them that you are going to a people from the people of the book. And there are still Jews in Yemen till today. You're going to a people from the people of the book. So let the first thing that you call them to be the Shahada and La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If they accept that from you, then inform them that Allah has obligated for them to pray 5 salawat every day and every night until the end of the hadith. So this was Mu'adh, and he was actually only about 29 years old when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sent him to Yemen. He was young, and he sent him with Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Mu'adh that day and he took him by the shoulder. He touched him on his shoulder. And he said, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Mu'adh, I love you. Fala tada'anna an taqula dubara kulli salatin. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. Says, so don't leave off saying after every salat, never abandon saying after every salat, O Allah, aid me in remembering you and thanking you and worshiping you properly. So this dua is an extremely important dua because we are asking Allah to aid us in worshiping Him. And it carries the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. When we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. O Allah, it is you alone that we worship, and from you alone that we seek assistance. And if we don't get Allah Azza wa Jalla's assistance, then we won't be able to perform His worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this dua is paramount, that a Muslim adds it to his, not only his daily supplications, but after every single salat. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تدعن أن تقول دبر كل صلاة. Don't abandon saying after every salat. And the scholars have said that this doesn't just mean the obligatory prayers, but it also includes the other prayers that you may make, those rawatib and those nawafil prayers that you may make. Say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. Let's go over the words of this hadith. This hadith was collected by who? Or who is the narrator of the hadith? Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And we should know the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, especially the famous companions like Mu'adh. Mu'adh was a famous companion. It was from the ulama of the companions. And the same way that many of our youth, they're into the movie stars and the sports, the athletes and all that they can name. All of the, how many people on football team? Soccer? Huh? How many? No, how many people play on a team? No, that's the 11 that start. Don't they have other ones? They can talk about all of them. On the basketball team, they can talk about all 15 players. The five that start the game and the ones that never come off the bench. They love the team. But can they name 15 of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? They'll stutter. Even if you offered them like a great reward. Look, right now on the spot, give you $2,000. Just name 15 companions. And he can't get past Abu Bakr the Siddiq. Radiallahu anhu. Mu'adh ibn Jabal is his name. He narrated this hadith, and the hadith is collected by Abu Dawood and others from most of the Sunnah. It's authentic hadith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, I love you, which is one of the things that would, yani, anybody that you revere, that you hold in high esteem, if they tell you they love you, how do you feel? You feel great. There's a feeling that overcomes you, that makes you pay attention to the next thing that he's going to say. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Allahumma a'inni. Okay? A'inni comes from the word a'un. Many of you know the hadith, Wallahu fi a'un al-abd. Allah is helping his servant. He will be in the aid of his servant, ma kana al-abdu fi a'un akhi. As long as the servant, as long as a person is helping his brother. And we say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Isti'ana, we seek your own. A'inni. Okay, aid me, help me, assist me. Alright, so say this word. A'in. A'inni. A'inni. I want to hear you say it in the back. A'inni. Yes. Allahumma. A'inni. Okay, that's the difficult part. The rest is easy, inshallah. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika. Okay, dhikr. You know dhikr. What is dhikr? Huh? Yeah, it's to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here, it's not just talking about with the tongue. It's not just saying, oh Allah, aid me to say after every salah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, like many people do. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And within a matter of 10 seconds, he said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, 33 times. It's not talking about dhikr only with the tongue, but to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Think about that man who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that category of people who will be in the shade of Allah Azza wa Jalla's throne on the day when there is no other shade. One of them will be the one who is enticed by a beautiful woman who has status. She's beautiful and she has status. And she invites him to have an illicit relationship with her. And he says, Inni akhaf Allah. He remembers Allah. He says, I'm afraid of Allah. I'm scared of his punishment. He remembers Allah Azza wa Jalla. And one of those people is he who remembers Allah. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, Khalian, with nobody else around. And his eye tears. Not that he says anything, but he remembers Allah. And so, before you do an action, you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before you refrain from an action, you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the remembrance of Allah, but you need Allah to help you in doing that. It's not just going to come because you feel like you want it to happen. Allah Azza wa Jalla has to aid you in that. You have to have a sincere desire, and Allah has to aid you. And so you say, Allahumma, a'inni ala dhikrik, ala dhikrika. Okay? So let's get that part of the hadith down. Allahumma a'inni. Everybody, Allahumma a'inni. Ala dhikrika. Okay, so that's the first thing. Dhikr. Ala dhikrika. To remember you. Wa shukrika. Wa shukrika. Wa shukrika. Okay, so you all know the word shukr, right? We say shukran. Shukr. What does that mean? Thanking. To show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal loves that one of you after he eats and after he has one morsel of food in his mouth and he eats that, he says, Alhamdulillah. or after he drinks even one gulp, he says Alhamdulillah. He thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He praises Allah azza wa jalla. Thanking Allah azza wa jalla for the ni'am, for all of the blessings that he has given you. And that thanks cannot just be something that you say with your tongue as well. It's not just something you say, thank you, Rabbi, yani shukran ya Rabbi, Alhamdulillah. But it is that you use his ni'am, the blessings that he gives you, in a manner that is pleasing to him, and that you don't use them in a manner that would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal blessed you to have a new car. You use that car to go to work, to earn money, to earn a living so that you can take care of your dependents. And you think about that. That's on your mind. And every time you get into your car, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. You remember Allah, you thank Him for providing you with these things. You use that ni'mah, use that blessing in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't use that blessing to do something that is displeasing to Him. When you recognize that this car, Allah azza wa jalla provided for you, you go out, you work hard to provide for your family because this is an obligation that you have upon you. You use your car to go to the masjid. Use your car to go to those places that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to visit your relatives. You don't use your car to go to the club, because that's displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to think about that every time that tire turns. Because Allah azza wa jalla blessed you with that. And if Allah azza wa jalla had not given it to you, you wouldn't have it. Those are material things. And never forget about the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that are priceless, that can't be replaced. Your ability to see, your ability to hear, your ability to feel things. Because not everybody has those things. And the people who lose them, they are very aware of the value of the things that we as healthy people take for granted every day. Wallahu musta'an. And so we need Allah's aid. We need Him to help us to remember, to thank Him. Because we can't thank Him enough. When you visit the sick people, when you go to the hospital, then you start realizing, subhanAllah, just your ability to breathe in this air, your ability to see the beauty of Allah azza wa jalla's creation, should make you know that you should not use these abilities in a manner that would be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla, He gave you that sight, can take it away from you. Don't use it in a manner that's displeasing to Him. Don't think that He doesn't see you. If He gave you the ability to see, then remember that He is al-Basir, and that He sees. And so when you lock that door and you go into a place all by yourself and you think that you're alone, know that you're not alone. And that Allah Azza wa Jalla sees. And only to use, be shy. Use your ni'am, these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, in a manner that will be pleasing to Him Azza wa Jalla. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in remembering Him and in thanking Him. Let's get the wording down. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa shukrika. Okay, and the last one is wa husni ibadatik. Husn, like the word hasan, something that is good. Okay? Something that is done well. What is ibadah? We all know ibadah, the worship, right? So husn, husni ibadatik, means worshiping you well, worshiping you properly, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us in worshiping Him properly. This is exactly the dua, yani exactly the meaning that is carried in Surah Al-Fatiha when we say, وَإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So we're asking Allah to help us in worshiping Him properly. And what is husn al-ibadah? How is our worship proper? It's proper when two conditions have been fulfilled. The first condition is that it's sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah, when we're asking Allah, وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ, we're asking Him to aid us in being sincere. Because maybe the time will come when there are motives, other motives, things that are pushing you to worship Allah for another reason. Yani, apparently you'd be worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you are doing it to please someone else. For example, you're doing it to show off. You're doing it because you want a reputation. You're doing it because you're scared of what might be said about you if you don't do it. You disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you're scared of what someone else may say about you. And so we need Allah azza wa jalla's aid in worshiping Him properly and helping us with our sincerity. So that's the first condition for husn al-ibadah. For your ibadah to be proper, is that it has to be sincere. Sincerely done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, seeking His face. And the second condition is that it has to conform to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It has to conform to the sharia. If a person does any action that is outside of that, even if he is sincere as he wants to be, it will not be accepted from him. And there are many examples of this that happen in the daily lives of people who make up their own, yani following a particular shaykh, for example. And so they make specific dua or specific dhikr at specific times of the day, believing that there is a special reward for it. If you say this phrase, you know, 1,062 times, then you will get this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And none of this has been legislated by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's not husn al-ibadah. What if a person, instead of going around the Kaaba 7 times, he says, you know what? More is better. And Allah loves witr. So I'm going around 9 times instead of 7. Is that something that's accepted from him? It's rejected. It's more. But he might as well make dhuhr 5 rak'ahs. It's more. And it's witr. And it's ad. So why not make dhuhr just 5 rak'ahs? Because this is something that does not conform to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So in order for our worship to be hasan, to be good, proper, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to have these two conditions, sincerity, and it has to conform to the sunnah of our beloved Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. This dua is to be made when? Huh? After every salat. طيب, what does that mean after salat? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, fi dubri kulli salat, at the conclusion of every salat. Now, what do we say immediately after salat? After you salam out, what do you say? Huh? Nobody knows, huh? Sorry? Okay, so how do you say, after salat, you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Istighfar? Okay, so what do you say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Huh? Allahumma anta salam, wa anta salam. Tabarakta ya dal jalali wal ikram. La ilaha illallah wa ahdi la shriki. But do you hear any dua there? As in Allahumma, Allahumma rabbi, rabbi? Yeah, but Allahumma anta salam is not, it's not a dua. Huh? No. And that is why the correct opinion is that this dua is to be said before the salam. Because, not that it can't be said after salam, but the best place to say it is before the salam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and others from amongst the companions that after you do the salat al-Ibrahimiyyah, to make whatever dua that you like, to ask for whatever you wish for from the good of this life and the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge in Allah from 4 things, right? After the salat al-Ibrahimiyyah. And there were other du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make. So the proper place to say this du'a is after you've said the salat al-Ibrahimiyyah, okay, which is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim, to the end of that du'a, then you're going to say, for example, you seek refuge in Allah from the 4 things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Dajjal to the Qabr. And then you can say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. طيب, who can say the dua, all of it, right now? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika, shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Fadl.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان